32. In law. The believer will remain in bondage as long as he does not know that through the cross he's been delivered from the reign of the old man, the law, the world and the enemy. We've already discussed the Adam life, and in this chapter we will deal with the law both as commandment and as principle. So first we look at the purpose of the law. Strictly speaking, God's formal law was given to the nation of Israel and to none other. The following points will clarify its place and its purpose. First, 430 years before God introduced the law, God gave Abraham the covenant of promise. This covenant had to do with faith and with Christ. Faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 9. And Christ. We read, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and two seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to the seed which is Christ. Galatians 3:16. The Father's Old Testament expression of his one and only way of salvation was by grace, through faith in the coming Messiah. Secondly, four centuries after Abraham received the covenant of promise, God presented the law to the Jews. We read in 1 John 17 that the law was given by Moses. The law was not meant to replace the principle of promise, of grace and faith, but was brought alongside. We read, the law which was 430 years after cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Galatians 3:17 and 18. Third, God's law is holy and the commandments are holy. They are just and good. Romans 7 verse 12. But it has to do with sin and death, not righteousness and life. We read in Romans 3:20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law reveals man's condition and intensifies his need. In Romans 7:13 we read the following. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Fourth, the law can have nothing to do with grace or faith or life. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, until Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verses 11, 12, 23 and 24. So now we look at the law and the old nature. The law has to do with sin, and therefore it applies to the Adam life, to the old man. First, the ministry of the law is to judge and condemn all that came from Adam. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinner. For when we were in the flesh, in Adam, the sinful impulses, which were aroused by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. 1 Timothy 1 verse 9 and Romans 7 verse 5. Secondly, the fleshly Adamic nature will have nothing to do with God, nor can God have anything to do with it. He uses his law to judge and to condemn it to death. Romans 8 verses 6 and 7 says the following. For the mind set on the flesh is death, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Next, we look at the Christian and the old nature. The old man, whether Jew or Gentile, is under the law. For the former, it is external via command. For the latter, it is internal via principle. We read in Romans 2:14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the external law, do by nature the things contained within the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. The old nature is law-orientated. It's carnal, not spiritual. The Christian who is mainly living by means of the old life and thereby giving expression to the old nature is carnal, is fleshly. And note that the Latin word for carnal is carnis or flesh. Hence, whether by command or by principle, the law is predominant in his life. He is under law as a rule of life. He is in the Romans chapter 7. So we're going to look first at the result of law negative and then the result of law positive. The result of law negative. First, the law says, don't sin, so the old man struggles to keep from sinning. The law says, do righteousness, so it struggles to be righteous. But the law does not give the Christian power over sin. It gives power over the Christian. The strength of sin is the law. 1 Corinthians 15:56. I find then a law or an indwelling principle, writes Paul, in Romans 7 verses 21 and 19. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Secondly, the Christian who is walking after the flesh is walking under law and therefore is doomed to failure. Law applies to the fleshly life, but there is no good thing in the nature. It is neither subject to the law nor can it be. Romans 8 verse 18 and chapter 8 verse 7. The carnal believer is depending on fleshly means for deliverance from fleshly failure. He is looking for strength to the very source from which he is seeking deliverance. And thirdly, the Christian life becomes a burden and a continuous up and down experience. There's little hunger for the word of God. Prayer all but fades away. Sins are not honestly confessed. Hence, there's scarcely any true fellowship with the Lord. And instead of having a testimony and being a pattern, such a defeated believer becomes a detriment to others. What love he has is self-centred. There is none for the needy. Instead of manifesting the love of the new man in Christ, there is the opposite expression from the old man in Adam. Unkindness, envy, unseeming behaviour, and other works of the flesh. Fourth, well, as to service, where there is any at all, it is mainly by means of self-effort, whether it's preaching or teaching or personal witness. Fleshly gimmicks and neat little methods are employed. But the flesh can only spawn more of its own kind. The problem, therefore, is compounded. From time to time there may be a bit of reviving in the life by means of dedication, but this usually results in deeper frustration and depression. There is no growth or fruitfulness for the believer in the legal realm. To such, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3, you are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as the natural man? But finally, we come to the results of law that are positive. Through all this legalistic and fleshly failure, the Father is working out his eternal purposes. He is using the principle of law to bring the believer to the end of Romans chapter 7, which is, oh, wretched man that I am. Thus the Christian is prepared for that wonderful exchange of faith, that of turning from the old law-bound nature to his new life, a life of grace in the Lord Jesus. By the Spirit, he will be brought from the realm of the old, the law of sin and death, into the new, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 verse 2. John Newton writes this. He says, by various maxims, forms and rules that pass for wisdom in the schools, I sought my passions to restrain, but all my efforts proved in vain. But since my Saviour I have known, my rules are all reduced to one. To keep my Lord by faith in view, this strength supplies, and motive too.